BBC
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
So, here's some lols for Monday. It's the Scott Mills Daily. It's all of today's show in bite-sized chunks. Find out how Chris completely messed up another live performance on Friday night. Singing our perfect Christmas single, it didn't go well. Also, a festive edition to get you feeling all Christmassy of 24 years at the Tap End. And at any time during the show today, my nose could have gone off. Details to follow.
BBC Radio 1.
You know I had that cold last week?
Mm.
Right, I just wanted to warn anybody who's listening this afternoon, and to you lot as well, because it keeps happening. Now, the cold is going, but my nose now is making involuntary noises. Have you heard it yet?
No.
It's doing a fizzing noise. So
oh.
I just wanted...
People are having their lunch.
I know, I'm sorry, but I just wanted to let you know, like, maybe it's a sinus thing, I don't know, but it is going... That's not my nose now, that's my mouth. But it is going every now and again. So if it happens today, like, don't point it out to me because I know it's happening, but I just wanted to make you aware so it doesn't freak you out. And I can't help it. It happens at any time. Like, it just happened during that song, but you didn't hear it because the song was on. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Just wanted to let you know.
The Scott Mills Daily.
I've boshed banter in Prague. I've dressed up as a Smurf. I've swapped lives with a German. Bought strip pens in France. I've covered teachers in sunscreen. Nearly drowned in some foam. I had a naked massage. Me and my mates had a laugh. I did.
24 years at the Tap End.
At the Tap End.
Where are we going today, Chris?
I'm going to take you to my 24th year at the Tap End. I know it's called 24 Years at the Tap End. This is, I suppose, a fairly recent one. And it's a bit of a Christmassy one.
Yes!
Oh, yeah. Christmas specials are on.
So I'm going to take you to my 24th year at the Tap End if you're keen.
I am Mr. Hankeen, the Christmas Pooh.
Excellent.
That wasn't mine. I have to say thank you to Carla who tweeted me that one, but I thought it was lol, so that's
I'm
who I am.
I'm Keen Egan from Westlife.
And I'm the Forest of Keen.
Lovely.
Why does that sound slightly wrong?
Beautiful.
I don't know. I can imagine you all foresty.
Right, I'm ready.
Ready. Okay. I wasn't ready then. And then I.
No.
You didn't
sound ready at all.
I'm ready.
I am ready.
And I'm ready. There is one night of the year that all the lads are conscripted to attend. It is seen as unacceptable to miss it, and no girlfriends or wives are allowed. Technically, none of me or my mates have wives, but we put in that rule early doors to ensure that in future years, that would not be an excuse to miss Boxing Day festivities. It's such a legendary day. It's the one day of the year that is guaranteed lad time. Christmas Day is always a pleasant family day. In recent years, I've avoided going out on Christmas Eve to ensure that I'm in full form to destroy a Christmas dinner. This is why the Boxing Day session is both sensible and important. After a day in with the family, however much I love them, it's important to get back out there. The day starts for me with a turkey and pork breakfast, which sets me up nicely for the day.
You have turkey for breakfast?
Of course you do. There's loads left over.
Oh.
What's wrong with that?
Hard going for a breakfast.
You have selection box of breakfast. You don't have turkey.
I'm not because I've never been a pudding man.
Do you just get like those sausages wrapped in bacon, then wrap them in turkey on the outside and dip them in the mayonnaise? Because
that's what I would do.
Nice. That does sound lush.
So what's that? Pigs in blanket wrapped in turkey.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that before. Pigs in blanket.
I've just invented that. It
wrapped with turkey. Lush.
Mm.
Then it's off to the football if there's a Watford game on. This year it was Watford against Cardiff. I love a Boxing Day football match. It was a good game. At half-time, I went in on a ham bap and gourmet chicken curry pie as it was Christmas. The game finished 1-1, and then it was off to meet the rest of the group, who were all playing their annual football match as old boys against their old school. As I got there, the game was nearing an end, but my mate Sir Dossa was coming on as a substitute. I was glad not to miss this. Sir Dossa's fitness had not been a priority to him of late, and his performance did not disappoint. Ollie ran onto the pitch from one side to the other, to his position on the left wing, and then stood there doubled over breathing heavily and in pain.
Do you know what? It must be hard. You don't hear of many rappers slash footballers, do you? You are either one or the other.
Yeah.
So for him, he must have put his fitness on the back burner to continue his rap career.
He'd been concentrating on his beats more than his fitness.
Yeah.
4 minutes later, he was substituted again.
4 minutes?
Yeah.
That's not good,
is it? Every time the ball went near him, he just let it go past. He was knackered from the running onto the pitch. We gave him a standing ovation off.
I don't know why we're laughing. That would be us.
Yes.
The day was all going great. The match finished and we all headed to a clubhouse where everyone gathers and a couple of the boys man the bar. It always turns into a quality party. Girls are allowed at this point, so it's a nice excuse to have a couple of drinks and dance with the occasional girl if you can secure one.
Is this girls are allowed but they have to stand behind a line?
No.
Like, because in my dad's golf club there was one time where girls are now allowed in the clubhouse but they're not allowed at the bar.
There's
a specific line where they have to stand behind. Which I don't mind, because that means that the men buy the drinks, but I still find it a bit weird. There's like a section where the women are allowed, but they're not allowed at the bar.
That's great. I've never seen that before.
Why is that great?
No, it's just funny to think of, isn't it? You wait there, wife.
I love sexism, I do.
I know. That's brilliant, that.
No, it's not a sexist thing. It's just a funny idea, isn't it? At this point of the day, awards are presented for various categories, much like the BBC Sports Personality of the Year Awards. Awards include Manager's Favourite and Player's Player, something I can proudly say I was a previous winner of.
Is that like Rap's MVP?
It would be, I guess. Yeah, the equivalent of.
Yeah.
So this is just like your in-house awards that you and your mates do?
Yeah.
And what do you get?
You get a small trophy and a drink. But that's great. I just don't think you get trophies like... We don't give out trophies to each other at the end of the year, do we?
No.
But it's such a lovely award to have on the desk.
You'd quite like it if we did our own award ceremony.
I think that'd be great.
How do you decide then? You all sit around in a group and go, right, player's player. And then you all go, I think it should be me. Well, I think it should be me.
Yeah, but no, but if we were going to do player's player between all of us, we'd do a secret ballot.
Well, I'd just put in me. You just put in you.
Well, no, you can't. You can't put yourself. Oh. I'd be quite interested to see who would win that. If we were to really be honest and did a quick draw...
We could do it now if you want.
Player of the year.
Just write down on a piece of paper your nominee.
Oh, it's not me.
And I will...
One that doesn't speak, are you in?
Yeah, he's in.
Right, so you can't vote for yourself.
So,
what are we voting for?
Well, we'll genuinely say...
Player's player.
Player's player.
Scott Mills, MVP.
Yes.
I can't put myself in.
Who's had a really good year?
No, you have to pick someone else.
Can't put yourself.
Okay. Right. Oh, who's reading them out? We'll give them to Chris.
Okay. So, player's player for the Scott Mills... Here you go. Right. We have one nomination for Becky.
Right.
One nomination for the one that doesn't speak. The one that doesn't speak. That's two for the one that doesn't speak. I'm sure that's the piece of paper he just handed me. But, and one for Becky. So that's two all.
Yay!
So I suppose Becky and the one that doesn't speak.
When do we get our cups?
Well, so I got not one nomination there.
All me.
That doesn't look good for the show, does it?
Rubbish.
Okay, I'm ready for more top end.
Yeah,
ready.
The awards are followed by drinks and a bit of karaoke, where I will do my annual performance of Westlife Flying Without Wings. Then the night really begins. Me and the lads head off to Pinner, where we take over a curry house there called Sahib's. Everyone was on brilliant form. There's nothing better than all the lads together going in on a curry. Everything's on, from chicken dansak to lambuna. From onion bhajis to keema naans.
Are you just reading out the menu now?
From Sagaloo to Takadal.
Close. From Sagaloo to Alo Shat. I had everything I wanted around me. Great friends and great curry. Life really doesn't get better than this. After a pleasant curry, we were ready for a night out. Snow was falling outside, but we managed to get enough cabs to take us into Harrow. We never usually dance. We're not those kind of boys. But tonight was different. We all headed to the dance floor. Arms around each other in a circle. Me, Chinese Dave, Chango, Cantona, Dougsy, Webbo, Chazza, Moriarty, Gilly, Jono, Dossa, Lenski and Gilbert and the convict danced.
Who are these new people?
They're just ones that haven't maybe so featured so heavily, but at Christmas everyone has to meet up. It's like conscription.
I would like to hear more about the convict.
Is that Akon?
I can't. It's not Akon. Right. I'm not sure we can talk about.
What about Moriarty?
Moriarty's a legend.
Okay, for one of the next tap ends, I'd like him to feature, please.
We Is can't, the convict on the run?
We can't maybe talk much more about the convict.
Oh.
As snow fell outside, memories flooded in from another great year with the lads. The night was rounded up with cheesy chips from the 4-in-1 across the road. It was only in the 4-in-1 that I realised how many of the lads had gone missing. And a phone call to 3 cab companies confirmed my fears that the snow meant that there was no cab company that would pick us up. Survival instincts kicked in, and like an army sergeant or an arcala, I took control of my lads. Some of the people were suffering from the cold. Gilly had even lost his coat and was in a bad way. I pressed play on the Christmas album on my phone to try distract him from the situation he was in.
What was it, frostbite?
It was very cold outside, and I was worried that he was panicking because of the cold. We couldn't get home.
That's what you really want to hear, isn't it? You're freezing your bum off and someone plays you Christmas songs. Let it snow.
And it was just
Mr.
to make
Frosty.
Everyone feel a bit warmer inside, if anything. Frankie Goes to Hollywood, The Power of Love began to play. My arm around him, I looked him in the eye and told him that I would protect him from the wooden claw.
This reassured him.
It's not that.
It's a hooded claw. Not a wooden claw.
I got that wrong.
Did you tell him that?
I will protect you from the wooden claw. What's a hooded claw?
It's a hooded claw.
Is it?
It's like a cartoon baddie.
Okay.
Where did you get wooden claw from?
I thought that was the words. No. I will protect you from the wooden claw. We were staying at Sir Doss's house that night, at his place called Bel Air.
This still makes me laugh.
It's ridiculous that his place is called Bel Air.
Yeah, it's just a sign on the side.
It was a long run, but it was our only option. I picked Gilly up and ran with him through the snow. Every now and then we would stumble, but I would pick him up, and together we made our way through the snow. I'm so in love with you. The power of love kept us going. That sounds weird. I mean the song.
Right.
I felt very much in charge of him, but he trusted...
We know a lot more about the situation now.
I felt very much in charge of him, but he trusted me. Yeah. And as we travelled across town, I felt a bit like the snowman, but instead we were walking to Bel Air. Make love your goal. We flew through the streets of North Harrow, to Pinner, and on to Northwood. The power of love. We made it to Doss's garage, though. Gilly gave me a hug and walked inside, where he collapsed on the mattress that had been left for him. I turned out the light and went upstairs to the spare room I was staying in. Tired but happy, I went to sleep, as I thought to myself it had been an amazing Boxing Day. With tongues of fire, purge the soul,
make love your goal. So romantic at the end there.
It really is.
It really was like the snowman, like leading him through the snow in the streets of... You know, where I live, walking to Bel Air.
We're walking to Bel Air.
It was like that, yeah. So, I suppose Christmas special there for you.
Thank you. And another one on Wednesday, please.
I'll do my best.
And another one on Monday, please.
We'll try.
Preferably featuring the convict, because I'd like to know more.
And his wooden claw.
I'm really keen.
Theme tune.
I've boshed banter in Prague. I've dressed up as a Smurf. I've swapped lives with a German. Bought strip pens in France. I've covered teachers in sunscreen, nearly drowned in some foam. I had a naked massage. Me and my mates had a laugh. I did
24 years at the top end.
At the top end.
Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
I'm quite annoyed that my nose hasn't fizzed for you.
When you did that massive announcement at the start of the show about how we could expect this and that from your nose this afternoon, I got quite excited.
It's fizzing involuntarily, but it hasn't happened yet. And now I'm thinking you don't believe me.
Make it do it now.
I can't make it do it. No, it's not happening. It's just the after effects of my cold. It's just going, psh, really weird.
I think you're imagining it.
I'm not, though.
I think you're attention-seeking.
Right. What I'll do when it happens...
All of the above.
When it happens, I'll just say, nose fizz, OK? And then you can listen. So keep listening for that, listeners.
That's something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Imagine if George Alagaya did this on the 10 o'clock news.
I know. So, Christmas singles a few weeks ago. We were wondering why no one makes the old school ones anymore. And we went out about making the perfect Christmas song. We got help from people like Noddy Holder, the king of Christmas, probably the most important person in the Christmas story, apart from Jesus and all them. And Tim Minchin got involved as well. And Little Mix, people like that. And we got all the advice together and we wrote the perfect Christmas single. Now, you know our friends, Frisky and Manish, they've done loads for us at the Edinburgh Festival every year. They helped us write it. And the exclusive behind-the-scenes footage of how we made the perfect Christmas single and how we got to this point tonight between 9 and 10 on Radio 1. Now, the song got its first live performance last Friday, which is what we really want to know about now, Chris. So, I couldn't make it. I was away for the weekend. So was Becky. Sorry about that. So, you got a replacement for me, at least.
Very last minute.
And the replacement was?
Brian Bellow.
Winner of Big Brother 8.
Yes.
Has he filled in for you before? Is this a natural stand-in?
Not on stage, no.
I think he should.
Did you request him?
No. I mean, Chris sorted that out.
Yeah, he was... When I heard I couldn't get Scott because he was away, really, Brian was one of the first people I thought of.
Because we could be twins.
Yes, very similar.
Now, I know you were worried on Friday about remembering your one line in the song.
It's just the stress of live performance can do funny things, can't it?
Just remind the listeners, this is the one line that he has to remember.
Not a free reindeer.
That's it.
Yeah.
So... Well, apart from your line, this whole Coco thing, was it just you and Brian all night?
No, it wasn't, no. We, Frisky and Manish, were doing a performance and there was loads of other acts on that night as well.
Okay. Mm.
And then as their final, their big finale, they were going to perform this Christmas song. They have a live band and
everything.
So
it wasn't like an audience with Chris Stark and Brian Bellow?
Not at all.
Okay. Not yet, but if ITV1 are listening, maybe next Christmas.
Now, you had one line and I was listening in the car. And
on Friday, yeah.
You were not getting it.
I just keep forgetting it. Mm. I think it's because it's only one line, it's just a bit insignificant in my mind.
So our Christmas song, in front of a live audience for the first time at Coco in London, Frisky and Manish performing. Please tell us what happened.
I mean, it was packed, for one. That was the first thing. The place was absolutely rammed.
Yeah.
And what happens is they start the song with a live band and then they do this big introduction, they say... And from Radio 1's Scott Mills show, here's Chris. And then
did they do it on X Factor? I can't believe I'm about to say this.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Chris Stark.
Yes, it was, to a lesser extent, it was like that. And then I was to go on and do the one line.
Which is?
A bit, not a free reindeer.
Okay, so how did that go?
I had to sing the chorus. So I step out. I'm quite nervous on the side of stage. It's me and Brian Bellow.
They're halfway through the song. It's going well.
Yep. The big intro happens. So I'm handed the microphone. And go to walk out onto the stage. Big deal, massive venue.
Yeah.
Really famous.
People screaming.
And, crowd going wild, of course. And step out and stand on the mic lead that's with the microphone. And the mic lead obviously just removes itself from the microphone.
Oh.
So I go walk out quite confidently to do the line, cue my line, and I have nothing to say because there's basically the mic's...
Did you not realise it had come out?
Lead, yes, but what could I do by then? It was like, it all happened so quickly. And then some man had to come run out, attach my lead, but it was too late, missed the line.
After all that, you didn't even say it.
The line's over in a flash. It's just this, not a free reindeer.
I knew the line by then. I practised hundreds of times.
But then the mic lead came out.
And then the mic lead came out, and there was nothing I could do for that.
And you only get one shot, sweetheart.
So it was kind of weird. So everyone in the crowd was like looking at me, going, well, what are
what's
you here
wrong
for?
With that
why are you here?
I literally was then standing on stage with a microphone doing nothing.
I can't believe it.
So I just reverted to what I could do best, and that was the in-betweeners dance.
Oh.
So I stood on stage next to Frisky and Manish and did the in-betweeners dance to the point where Brian Bellow came out to do his two lines.
And how was he?
Well, I mean, he was very nervous. Up until that point, he didn't really look like he knew his lines.
No.
And he couldn't get the timing right of it either.
Or the tune, because we practised it on Friday on the show and he was singing a completely different tune.
But he came out and stood in the front of the stage and really concentrating as hard as he could on that song, he did it. And then we just sort of danced around a bit.
Was he singing the same tune?
Yes, he was. Yeah, I've got to say, he was brilliant.
And who did Becky's Dizzy Rascal line? You ain't got fear, just mingle, give
well,
a little thing to the singles.
We needed someone. Out, it comes to the point of Becky's rap. out of nowhere, runs the one that doesn't speak,
grabs
a microphone, takes control of the situation, runs the front of the stage. Crowd loved it.
What, he actually spoke?
Spoke. So only for those people that were there. Well, he rapped. Technically, he rapped, I suppose.
And did he get, because that's kind of on an off beat, did he get the timing right?
It was an incredible thing
to
see.
Did he do the accent?
He didn't do the accent, no, he just did it in his own special way. But I'm just gutted I missed this line. I mean, I think this was my one big chance to perform a line on stage.
And you stepped
on a massive venue.
So that's the second time you've met. The first time you went on stage, you were sick in a bucket in front of Emily Atack. And the second time you went on stage, you just pulled the microphone out and didn't do what the only thing you were meant to do.
I didn't plan for it. I learnt the words. That was all that could go wrong in
my mind.
Maybe
third time lucky.
I don't know if you can get these opportunities again. I think I've wasted mine.
You've blown it again.
I worry that I've blown my opportunity to do the right thing on stage.
So with the mic in your hand, but obviously not attached to anything, were you just miming along? Words coming out.
It all went so quickly, Scott, and the crowd looked very confused. There's people with camera phones and everything. It was all...
Oh, I really hope someone's going to put it on YouTube.
Yeah, that must mean there's footage of it somewhere. Yeah.
Please send it.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
So this whole stage thing, despite you wanting to do it, is not going great for you, Chris. So
it just feels a bit disappointing.
The first time you go on stage, Edinburgh Festival, you were physically sick.
Yes.
Second time on stage, London, Coco. Mute.
Yes.
It's not going that good.
It's not, no.
There's the chicken nugget challenge, which forced you to be sick behind a curtain. Then the mic lead snaps.
Yeah.
And you're not on during the performance of Perfect Christmas Single. What is the, like, ideal role on the stage that you would like to perform? Because I know you do want to be
I mean, in an ideal world, I could see myself playing a role in Les Mis.
Les Mis?
Yes.
He loves Les Mis.
I love Les Mis.
Do you?
Yeah, you wouldn't expect it, but honestly, it's become my new, like, sort of passion.
Wow. The Chinese Dave Chango, Cantonard, Dougsy, Webbo, Chazza, Moriarty, Gilly, Jono, Dossa, Lensky, Gilbert and the Convict know you like Les Mis.
That was amazing. That's a great memory.
Five.
I can't reach you.
I can't reach you, but yeah.
Virtual five.
Yeah.
They know I like it.
Do they though?
They do, because every now and then if I'm out on a night out and it's a bit late, I find myself singing Les Mis songs now.
Which one?
Like One Day More. It's great. I'll tell you what, Les Mis songs are the ones to sing in the shower because they're like big, powerful songs.
I wouldn't have thought he would have told the lads about this liking of Les Miserables. I thought it'd be up there with the scented candles and the tinted moisturiser.
Yeah.
Like they don't know about it.
And who do you want to play in that?
Probably Jean Valjean.
Right, so... reach for the stars.
I know it's aiming a bit big, but honestly, I can see myself doing this.
Is he the one in it?
He's like the main...
The Don.
Yeah. But I would... I don't know, really. I don't know how realistic this is, because if you look at my CV, it is sick and mute.
It is sick and mute so far.
Yeah, your credits aren't the best so far.
No. Why don't you leave it to us and see what we can sort out for you? I'm not promising Les Mis.
It'll be a hell of a blag.
Yeah, you're going to get him Jean Valjean.
No, I didn't say that. I just think we can get you on stage somewhere and maybe just do like a third time lucky situation.
No, if you can get me Jean Valjean.
No, I didn't say that, did I though?
Imagine if you had tickets for Les Mis and then this one turns up.
Tonight, the part of Jean Valjean is played by, rubbish.
Really?
It's always disappointing when that happens.
I hate that.
If it's Chris Stark, the name you hear afterwards, you're just going to cry into your popcorn.
What are you saying?
Well, no one likes a stand-in. Sorry, any stand-ins that are listening.
And you've got previous. You need to prove to us that you can actually go on stage and deliver.
When you're there to see the main bloke who you know is in the play or in the musical as that character, when it's before the curtain goes up, sorry, they're ill tonight, it's someone else. It's not good.
Yeah. But I disagree because I think given...
I've never heard that announcement. The ones I go to say, ladies and gentlemen, tonight the part of Jean Valjean.
Well, I've been to a lot of pantos in the north.
I'm sorry, loves.
Sorry, love.
I'm well up for it. Given the chance to be in Les Mis, and I'm being serious here, I think I'd do a good job.
All right, yes.
So me and Scott have now got to persuade Jean Valjean to go off sick so you can cover for the night.
I'll get in contact with my people from Theatre Land. Leave it with me.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Real or no real then? Yes. Okay, here's your facts that you can load up with tonight and tell your mates about. Warning, some of them aren't real. Make sure you get the real ones, not confused with the fake ones, before you present them as facts to your friends. 10 points each. Becky's keeping score. Let us know how you do on 81199.
90% of people who've had an affair say the person they cheated with was uglier than their partner.
Are they only saying that because they've got back with the other person? Do you know what I mean? Then they have to say that. Don't they?
Yeah, they were uglier anyway. True.
So that's a lot, isn't it?
It's worse if they're uglier, I think.
No, but I reckon this is... Well, I'm not playing, but I reckon this is true.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't matter.
What are you saying?
Sometimes.
What are you saying?
It's not always the way that they have to be more attractive. That's what I'm saying. They don't. That's not how affairs work.
Okay.
Carry on.
Wise words there from...
And that's it from Loose Women for today.
No, if you're going to leave, you're going to leave for someone hotter, aren't you?
Don't agree.
Okay, right. So Scott says it's true. This one's true.
Saying 90% is very high.
Yeah, we should agree with him. He knows. He's the king.
Yeah, you are obviously the expert of this.
Yeah.
I'm going to say...
No. I'm not the expert.
Well,
I just think...
Very knowledgeable on the subject.
No, from talking to my friends, they've...
Friends.
Sometimes they've not always been...
Which friends
as attractive.
Of yours are
unfaithful? I can't say.
Male or female?
It was a mistake they made. Real or no real?
I'm going to say real if you're so sure.
Real.
That one is real.
Yeah. You know it. And next.
Before becoming the leader of the Lib Dems, Nick Clegg was a well-known pioneer of the hard house scene, going under the name Nick C.
I haven't got a clue about this one. No advice to give.
You're not that knowledgeable on your hard house, are you?
I wouldn't say that.
I'd say more politics.
I'm going to say no real, because we'd have heard about it by now. There'd have been videos on YouTube.
And he would have, I don't know, we would have seen him around here probably, wouldn't we? Do you know what I mean? In one of the shows, or doing a pilot or something.
In New DJs We Trust, Nick C.
I'm going to say no real.
It's tricky. I don't know the hard house scene that well.
No, I don't.
But I can't see this being real. No real.
That one is no real.
Yeah, he looks more like he'd be up for it than Cameron, though.
Yes.
Hard house.
Boris Johnson, I would have believed it.
Next.
Showing someone an illuminated light bulb can significantly improve their problem-solving ability.
No real. This is a joke. No real.
So what happens? What
you know,
are you supposed
to do? I think that isn't that like the cartoon thing where even when you get an idea, it goes ding and the light bulb goes. So they're saying that if you show someone a light that's on, they suddenly get a better idea.
That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous, isn't it?
Well, unless they're in a really dark room and they're trying to find something, you switch the light on, then they get it.
Yeah.
That's a technicality. I'm saying no real.
Yeah, no real.
That one is real.
Show me a light bulb. I don't know. I don't make them up. I'm just here to present the facts or not. I don't know. Look into it later. Next.
NASA invented the toasted sandwich maker whilst trying to invent the flux capacitor.
Oh. I think this is real. Do you know, because a lot of things are invented like this.
What, by mistake?
Yeah, they're trying to invent something else, and then they get, like, wasn't the, saucepans and stuff, that, like, non-stick coating, that was invented by someone trying to invent something else.
Was it?
Like a rocket or something. I'm sure of it.
I'm sorry.
Google
so someone,
it. Google
someone
it.
Was
you know that
inventing
non-stick
a rocket,
stuff.
As you and put they were... it. Okay, and they invented the non-stick pan.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys, we can't launch a rocket today to go into space, but we do have this amazing stuff that, like, nothing will stick to it.
And what were they doing when
look
they
at
just
the pan.
Got there,
look
trying
at the
to
pan.
Bake a cake
I'm
on a rocket?
Just looking it up, hang on.
Look, the pan is not sticking, not sticking, look, not sticking.
That's rubbish, Becky.
Oh. It says, it is commonly believed that the non-stick pan is a spin-off from a NASA space project. However, that is not so.
Right.
But these although things... NASA have cooked in non-stick pans.
These things by accident do happen, because, I mean, look at Flubber. That was based on a true story, wasn't it? Flubber, the movie. And that green substance was discovered by accident whilst he was trying to create something else.
NASA toasties, real or no real?
A real. I'm going to stick with real.
No real.
That one is no real.
And next for you on real or no real?
Male ostriches moonwalk to show dominance over other males.
Shermal.
They could well do. I mean, that could be where Michael Jackson got the move from.
From an ostrich.
What came first, ostrich or...
Jacko.
The ostrich moonwalker. They probably call it something different.
They don't refer to it as moonwalk.
They don't moonwalk. Where have you seen an ostrich go backwards?
But...
On planet Earth, I think.
I'm going to say no real.
I love the idea of an ostrich moonwalking too much for it to not be real. I'm going to say real.
That one is no real.
Darn it. Rubbish.
Just imagine that.
I know. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Okay, at the end of that round...
Chris has 30 and Becky, I have 30. I thought I turned into one of those people that talks about themselves
third
in
person.
The third person. How
so
awful.
It's a draw today.
The Scott Mills Daily.
No spheres. Oh, that's not happening.
Been waiting all show for that.
Well, that's annoying. After all that, it didn't even happen once. Maybe tomorrow it might fizz. Keep listening. We're back tomorrow, 1 till 4 on Radio 1, including innuendo bingo, messy water fun at 1:45. Scott.